This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with...
Arvind Raj.
And Audrey Raj.
Started off with a statement from Susie Welch, who's the CNBC contributor, best-selling management author, saying it's roughly 3 to 5 years is about the sweet spot for you to hop jobs. We've asked you guys for your feedback. We've got some messages. We'll go over to WhatsApp first. Arvind, what do you have?
Yeah, so this comes from Raj, who says that whenever you swap jobs, you have to go through a learning curve to adapt and later perform. It is okay if you're moving up the value chain, but if it's lateral, then I think it is not really beneficial. People who move job frequently are either insecure or impatient. They won't grow in the organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's from Raz.
We have one tweet here by Ivan Lowe who says, the determining point is when you know you've reached the end of the line. No bonus, no promotion, no increment, and no perks. Condition being that you've dutifully discharged your duties with good results. It can be less than 3 years even.
That's when they give you that gold watch, isn't it?
Gold watch?
Yeah.
I don't know anyone from my generation who actually aspired for a gold watch.
No, me neither. Okay, keep the messages coming in. You've got a few more minutes if you'd like to feedback, but we are going to move on to this final story. We're all going to sit back while fireworks start. Audrey has a statement.
It's not really a statement. So this is an op-ed that I found online last week, courtesy
Name
of...
Name and shame the author, please.
Courtesy of Frida Liu. So this is written by Jeremy F... Jeremy M. Fu, and you can find this article on Rice Media or on our podcast page. It's titled Hawker Culture Belongs to Singapore Because We Have More Money. Obviously, it's written by a Singaporean. This is how it starts. I'm just going to read you just a few bits of this article so you can feel my pain. And my anger and my wrath. Malaysian food is cheaper and better. Their street food culture is richer, more vibrant, and unthreatened by social enterprises. The gravy is thicker, the noodles are springier, and the chendol is sweeter. No thinking person in Singapore or Malaysia will dispute this.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, nobody cares. Hawker culture still belongs to Singapore, not because we are better at street food or hawker dishes, but because we have more money than Malaysia. Malaysians may be better at cooking, but Singaporeans are infinitely better at selling / marketing ourselves as better cooks, simply because we have the resources to do so. Our flavors may be lacking, but most of the world will never know because we certainly don't lack the money when it comes to PR campaigns, media blitzes, and over-the-top product placement. In short, Singapore owns hawker culture because we spend more money and influence telling everyone we own hawker culture. Okay, so let that sink in for a bit. There's also, towards the end of the article, he says, that's why Malaysia is always on the defense when it comes to food. Not because Malaysia's food is inferior, but because Malaysia is less aggressive and less well-connected than Singapore. In short, the checkbook is mightier than the walk. So Malaysia, please don't hit the player, hit the game.
Oh.
Jeremy M. Fu. Hello, you.
Okay.
As much as, you know, this it pains me to read this, but you have to admit there's some truth to this.
There is, unfortunately.
Right?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
It's like that whole story about the IKEA Swedish meatballs that we now know after Sweden confessed that
after they confessed
it's actually Turkish meatballs.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you go to IKEA and it's served with that little yellow and blue flag, you think it's from Sweden, you know, and Sweden wins.
Yeah.
Where's Turkey in all of this?
Right,
we are Turkey. Malaysia is Turkey.
I never thought they were from Sweden. I just thought they were from IKEA. I just call them IKEA meatballs. No one says Swedish meatballs.
They do. And they say Swedish meatballs.
Okay, that's right. I didn't get it. Yeah, I just say like IKEA curry puffs and IKEA hot dogs. You know what I mean? Yeah, but
You know, Jeremy has a point, I think.
Yeah, he has
he
a point.
Does.
As much as I don't want to agree with him, I have to agree with him that he's... Yeah, it's Singapore, in not only in food, in like hawker food, it's everything. It's marketing their city, marketing their culture, their Singapore lifestyle, their cleanliness. Everything that they do is because they just go out there and do it.
I mean, let's take, for example, the Visit Malaysia poster that was designed last year.
Yes.
Now, it was an atrocity. There is no other word for it. you know.
There are. You just can't say them on air.
I just can't say them on air. Yeah. It was truly, truly awful. Mm. It's not truly, truly Asia. It was truly, truly awful.
Yes.
You know, and when somebody looks at that as a marketing campaign for a nation, you cannot take it seriously.
No.
You know, it becomes a laughing stock. What it needs is real thought going into Malaysian products. You know, it's okay saying, you know, we export X amount of palm oil and we export this amount of petrol and one thing or another. There's so many things that Malaysia does right, just that people don't know about it, like this guy says.
And it's not like we're not capable of putting ourselves out there. It's not that we're not capable of creating like brilliant visuals and marketing campaigns for tourism Malaysia. But why are we not putting our best foot forward?
Mm.
Why are we not putting out the best we can? You know, that's what Singapore is doing. While we were talking about A Formosa and about our heritage buildings in Penang, and what is Singapore looking at?
Mm.
Hawker culture,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's also. I don't think he is right when he says that Malaysia has no money to do it or Singapore has more money. I don't think it boils down to money. I think we have enough money. We just don't know where to channel that money properly.
Right.
Look at Thailand. Like, if in Bangkok is known for street food, for street culture, all that stuff, I don't think they have that much money or more money than Malaysia has.
Mm.
It's just that they know how to challenge that that marketing and promotion when they sort of like when they put Bangkok on like a world stage. People know Bangkok for a number of things.
Right.
And they know how to channel that promotion.
Right.
Malaysia doesn't know how to do that. We have never known how to do that for our attractions, for anything in this country. It's very like mishmash, flip-floppy kind of thing. So, you know, we lose our identity or we share our identity with the better-known countries like Singapore.
So it's basically just half-baked when we do it
Singapore
just knows how to milk it.
Sigh.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to wrap up, ladies and gents. If you missed any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast. They are available via the app, or they are available via Spotify now. The apps are available, of course, on the Apple App Store or on Google Play. You know the stories that we've done. We started off with a story about 3 to 5 years being the sweet spot. It seems to be, some people are saying, you know, it's quite subjective. People do love their job. They move for a bump in salary, one thing or another. Raz had an interesting point saying, you know, if you are moving too often, you've generally got itchy feet. And it's some interesting ideas here. So we had that. That's what we started off with. We then moved on to Facebook and their career development site, taking on LinkedIn. Cheaper Netflix was the next story, wrapped up with how hawker culture does in fact belong to Singapore because they have more money.
No.
But they don't. We will leave that debate open, and I think that's something we'll have to talk about another time. But coming up after the 1 o'clock news, of course, is the Breakfast Grill replay. The Sunway Education Group is valued at over 1 billion ringgit and houses a wide range of higher education institutions and international schools under its umbrella. The Breakfast Grill spoke with its executive director, Dr. Elizabeth Lee, on the group's plans to stay ahead of its rivals as well as trends in the private education sector. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. Meanwhile, we'll take some music out. It is Deep Purple with Black Knight. I'm Richard Bradbury. This was
Arvind Viraj
and Audrey Raj.
We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow at noon for Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.